Blog Talk Radio.
But it's hot and humid, but I have an air conditioner, so that's not too bad. I hope you're not in the middle of your earthquake or anything like that. I don't even know what an earthquake would be. I would probably think that somebody had their radios blasting too loud and it shook the earth. But I'm supposed it's 7 o'clock on my time here in, the Big Apple. I'm not sure that this is Shark Week or we just ended Shark Week. Actually, this is true. They have Shark Week on Discovery Channel, which absolutely coincided with the adventure of the New York Sharks, which we'll get to later. I have as my first guest, who will call in pretty soon, I met former Top Chef contestant CJ. You know that really extremely tall guy? Yeah, that's the one. I met him. Well, we'll tell you about what this is. And so he's going to come on and chat with us. I wish I could show you a picture of he and I, because I'm like 5'2", and he's like, I think, 6'8", or I'm not sure, 6'8", or 6'10". I wouldn't know the difference between, the 2 inches anyway. He'll be on. But the thing with the New York Sharks is what we're going to talk about is their experience of that Gold Cup flag football tournament that took place in Canada. And by the way, I'm gonna cut to a commercial. But before I cut to one of our sponsors, I want to tell you that I'm writing a book. Everybody has been all my life. That really sounds great for journalists. Okay. Everybody, all my life, everybody has been saying, Merle, you need to write a book about your life. And so I did. I'm almost through with it. And it's going to be called Merle's World, It's a Humorous Life. Humor. Adult humor. Let's put it that way. I have to say adult humor because I use the word fucking it at least one time. Other than that, it's a couple of maybe double entendres and stuff, but basically, So I might as well, I got to do the thing, and I'm in the mood, and you're in the mood, and we're all in the mood for this one. I'll probably have it right after.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, and you can find that at brownies.com. I don't know why I expect them to say, I forgot there's like some lifesaver flavors that I also expect them to talk about, but what was it, lemon yellow, orange, orange, yeah, anyway. It's going to be quite interesting to have, I think, three or four people on at one time to chat about this this past tournament, Gold Cup tournament. Really proud of the New York Sharks. Because there's at least 100 tackle football teams, and there's, I don't know how many flag football teams there are in the country, but it was the New York Sharks women's tackle football team that got chosen to play in this tournament, and this is the first time that the United States has been represented. So I'm quite proud of them. And I'm throwing them a party. Yes, I am. The same place where I got to sing Dancing Queen. Yeah. So that'll be coming up later on. I'm in the mood for a song just before. Oh, let's see. Let's get one. Let's get something that's like a little. Little rock. There we are.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
right. This is radio. So, okay, as we're waiting for CJ to call in. I was just in the mood for a little rock, just the, you know, as opposed to Little Rock. I had gone to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when I was in Cleveland. So I thought this would be, well, somewhat indicative of it. And so, well, here we are.
Hello.
CJ, you're on the air. How are you?
I am fantastic, and how are you?
Oh, good. So did you get a tan?
Well, you know, being a Scandinavian, I already got a really solid base coat going for me, but I think that was just further pushed forward by the beautiful day we had here today.
Oh, okay. Are you still in Central Park, by the way?
No, I'm no longer in Central Park, and I'm over at a friend of mine's house.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know in case we get any. I don't want to hear any mugging in the background. That's all.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was really beautiful the entire time I was there.
Yeah,
was,
I'm sure.
I was skipping and holding hands and like, everything, you know, there were Care Bears and it was awesome.
Yeah. Mhm. That's the way it always is. Until okay. That's fine. I'm really glad that you had a good time. And so let's get to this. So let's tell my audience doesn't know like how I connected with you. So
okay.
Tell us about this thing with you and the
Hilton Garden Inn.
Garden Inn, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was approached by the Hilton Garden Inn to come up with like a healthy alternative and a new sort of breakfast menu for their Hilton Garden Inn chain. And it's very much, you know, people on the go and, you know, they really want to stress, you know, starting your day right and everything. And they chose me also because they're big sponsors of the AVP, the Association of Volleyball Professionals, and I played volleyball professionally for a living. So it was kind of like a nice fit. They also flatter me and say I have a good personality, which I don't get enough hearing of. I love hearing it. So I created this menu.
Personality, that's okay.
Thanks. And I had to showcase at the Culinary Loft just a few days ago, and that's where the magic started for you and I.
Why, by the way, why did they choose the Culinary the Culinary Loft? I'm curious.
I don't know. I mean, from a marketing point of view, I think it's a good place to showcase different, foods and, you know, styles of food and what have you, and the media know where it is, and I've been involved now with two things, the Culinary Loft, and it always seems like a really nice, smooth, great event.
Oh, okay. It all kind of looked like a set on, from one of the shows, like a Food Network kind of show, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what they go for. They actually do film a lot of things there also, so.
Okay. So, and by the way, just in case, you know, like people going, who? Who is he? Tell everybody who you are.
My name is CJ, Chris Jacobson, and I was on Top Chef Season 3 in Miami. I am the really, really tall one who had to duck under door frames, and in the intro, I actually ducked to make sure my head fit in the camera.
How tall are you?
And I finally got kicked off because it was like the next one. They just kept putting smaller and smaller and smaller, like, you know, venues at me. Like I had to cook in a boat galley, and I had to cook in an airplane. I'm like, okay, enough. I'll lose on broccolini, a side dish.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'8" tall, almost all real.
Okay, I was just wondering because I was telling you we took a picture, but you know, between me at 5'2" and but the picture is worth 1,000 words.
I bet we look beautiful together.
Yeah, I'll plug it up. I'll plug it on my gallery on my website.
Just put the tastefully done photos up on us, please.
I'm sorry?
Just put the tastefully done photos up on your website, please.
but you're not going to be, by the way, you're not going to be actually chefing at any of the gardens, at any of the Hilton Gardens, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
The quality control will be done by their corporate chef who oversees all their food production now.
Okay. So in other words,
he's a really good guy.
So let's get into what it is that you made.
Okay. My first dish was a brisket hash with cavallo nero, which is black Tuscan kale. Very, very, very good for you. Lots of iron, vitamins A, B, a lot of zinc. And then laid over some toasted grilled multigrain bread. Then there was a poached egg on top of that. So essentially, all the jus from the brisket hash sort of seeps into the grilled bread, and then the egg yolk on top of that kind of rounds out the entire dish. And then I serve it with roasted sweet potatoes.
Wow.
No one in the breakfast world really has sweet potatoes, and they have zero fat and they're full of vitamins. My next dish was actually very similar to that dish. They went an option of a to-go option. So I essentially took that whole thing, scrambled the eggs, and placed that into a wrap, like a lavash. I then also made a multi-grain pancake with blueberry thyme syrup. And finally, my last dish was a granola sort of parfait. It was granola with flaxseed, Greek yogurt, and the Greek yogurt was spiked with some honey and some lemon zest and lemon juice, topped off with strawberries. Voila.
Yes. The healthy hash that you made. Can you go into it on, how it was done, how it was cooked, or how you,
I'd love to. Yeah. Especially to make the brisket, what I did was, and I also thought it would be a good cut of meat for them because the alternative for breakfast, meat is, aside from eggs, is pork product, which is my favorite product in the world. But you can't try to be health driven and really have pork cut on your menu at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I decided on the brisket hash, and it has what I did was I braised the brisket for about 6.5 hours until it was nice and tender. I strained out all the vegetables and I reserved the juice, and I reduced the jus down to about half, and then I took the brisket and I shredded it. So when I went to pick up the dish, you'll start with the pan, saute some onions till they're translucent, no color unless you really want it. Then I'd throw in the brisket and then hit it with the jus, and it becomes a very nice, rich and high in protein hash. From that point, I take blanched cavallo nero, and I toss that in there only at the last minute because I don't want it to become too stewy and lose its own integrity as a flavor. And the poached egg goes on top of that, and the grilled bread, that's kind of self-explanatory.
So now you're really basically in terms of the hash, you're really substituting a brisket for a corned beef.
Yeah, essentially, if you're going to have a corned beef hash, yeah.
Right, and so when you're making the corned beef, is it fattier and saltier? Is that what you would kind of say, the difference?
Yeah, and also corned beef is filled with something called nitrates and nitrites. They're like the same thing you put in salamis, just for a kind of a curing salt. And those things cause cancer, and I've already had cancer once, so I don't really want to be promoting them.
Oh, okay. I don't blame you. So in other words, if somebody makes corned beef, when they first get it's not as if they could take a piece of meat and cook it up. They have to, don't they have to cook it in a brine or something?
Yeah, it's brine cured. There are alternatives now. You don't have to use the nitrates and nitrites, but
right.
It's the best tasting product. And I wanted to use the brisket just because I think it's I haven't seen a brisket really hash done on that many breakfast menus,
right.
If any at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, in the braising process, it is a fairly tough piece of meat. So when the fats do melt, they rise to the surface of the braising liquid, infusing with flavor, and then you can just skim them off.
Right.
So all the fat that was in it, we just skimmed right off. And also when we were shredding the brisket, we were also very cognizant of stripping away any sort of fat that was still left on the meat itself.
Okay. Yeah, it was quite good, I have to say.
Well, thank you so much.
The Then, oh, the waffle. Oh, the waffle.
The waffle is like your favorite thing in life. I mean, I haven't had a conversation with you and the waffle hasn't come up.
Okay.
I'm glad you're happy.
I have to tell everybody. They sent this home. This is the press was invited to this. And they sent this home with a little package of which contained the waffle mix. And it's a multi-grain waffle mix. And I have no idea what's in there, but this is like the best tasting. And I didn't make it as a waffle. I just want to let my audience know. I kind of did this like as a pancake because I didn't, heated the pan to really, really hot and put some olive oil in it. And then the funny thing is it says here, you know, like to do it, it says measure and mix together, et cetera, et cetera. And it says, follow the instructions. And I went, instructions?
Instructions from unction.
There was none.
Oh, there weren't any? That's funny.
No.
Luckily, you know, your culinary genius stepped right to the plate.
That's why it was hilarious. I'm thinking, I'm going, well, I'm only putting this amount in there. That can't really make much. And all of a sudden, this thing blows up in the pan. It's like, oh, my God, it's really thick. I have a piece of cake here.
I'm
a bad girl. I put on, a ton of maple syrup just because that's what I'm used to doing. It's like I wanted to soak in maple syrup. It's not the best thing to do.
you say bad girl, but I'm saying that's the way it's supposed to be done right there. I mean, you got to enjoy it.
Well, some people pour a little maple syrup. Mine is like, oh, I'm having a piece that's still dry a little bit.
Maple syrup too, but a little like island of waffle.
Yeah. I definitely gonna have to find out about this about the mix. Because one of the things I want to get to about this particular mix, a waffle mix, is other ideas of what can you do, like, all right, you know, you make waffles, you make pancakes. What other things can you do with the batter, with the waffle or pancake batter?
Well, a couple of things you can do is like any sort of yeast you'd actually use for a flour, like if you wanted to dust chicken or dust fish, and you could certainly use that as like a healthy alternative to say, Wonderful flour or cornmeal. This flour is like chock full of not only flavor but vitamins as well. So you could use it for like fried chicken. I don't know if those are kind of contradictory if you're still trying to stay healthy, but just dredging a fish. Or chicken, and I'm sure you could even oven bake it too, and it would taste fantastic.
If you did it with chicken, would you have it with or without the skin on in doing this?
I would always keep the skin on because I love the skin, and I think that's where a lot of the flavor is in chicken.
Right.
Especially if you're going to fry it, then skin is like the greatest thing on the planet.
Okay. I just wondered if it kind of made a difference, if it's, made a difference in doing it, in just the process itself, whether to have the skin on or the skin off, not necessarily, what's healthy, but...
The skin is a lot of flavor, so to all you people out there, keep the skin on. go run an extra lap or something, but you got to keep the skin on your chicken.
Well, that's a way to have, there's a dish that people make, chicken and waffles, and they put fried chicken on top of waffles. This way you kill two birds with one stone, but since we're talking about
chickens.
I knew you were headed down that route,
Merle. I knew you were heading down that route. I was a little frightened, but you really smoothed it out. Yeah, nice job.
Yeah, okay. Would you do this, like, did you ever try, like, in shrimp, with shrimp?
I haven't yet, but you could dredge all sorts of different food in it. You could also even, instead of like a pancake, I would just add water to that mixture and maybe one egg, and you can make crepes out of it, whole grain crepes. I bet even if you mix it with a bunch of butter and you needed it, you can make biscuits out of it. It could also be, like as you saw, a cake base. So it is pretty versatile.
What about with beer? You think you could make a beer batter using that?
Oh, you definitely could.
Okay.
You definitely could use a beer better.
Yeah, well,
I had some baking soda, but aside from that, yeah.
Right. I'm sure my football team, New York Sharks, would be happy to know that you can make a beer batter with it.
Anything with beer, right?
Yeah, anything with beer. Beer or margaritas, you know, either one.
Exactly.
Either one. So
I think alcohol is the key fix.
Except, you know, with me, not me. I get drunk on scotch tape, so.
What? You like scotch?
No, I said I get drunk on scotch tape.
I've never heard that term before.
Scotch tape. It's a joke.
Oh,
I get drunk on scotch tape.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, right.
Can I use that? That's pretty
good.
Yes,
you can use that.
I get drunk on scotch
tape. I stole it from somebody years ago, so you can use it. Yeah, that's why I say, you should see what happens when I have rye bread.
Hey-o.
Or play gin rummy.
Rye bread is pretty good, too. Rye bread is good,
yeah.
too.
And also now the granola that was pretty good, that you had the flax in it, which just makes it even healthier as opposed
It has a nuttiness to it, and also you know it's proven to lower cholesterol. It's good for your heart. It's good for a lot of stuff. Not to mention the fiber factor.
And also, you know, I guess the Greek style yogurt. What do you say would make it Greek style? Why is it the Do they make it ass backwards?
they might make it ass backwards, but they make it ass backwards and make it taste really, really good. I'm not sure exactly what the process is in the Greek yogurt, but I know it tastes a lot better than just normal plain yogurt. And, you know, it has a lot of live cultures in it and has bacteria that your body actually needs and is struggling with. And it's good on a million different things.
Yeah, because I liked what you did with the that you used lemon zest and lemon juice.
Yeah, lemon zest, lemon juice, and honey.
And honey, yes, sweetheart.
I'm sorry.
and then you
what?
Put the I said yeah, you said and honey, and I said yes, sweetheart.
That's so funny. Good one.
You gotta try. Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, it's hard. You gotta catch it. You know.
Yeah, I know. You're quick.
Yeah, I'm quick. And then you had, and you put the sliced strawberries on top of it.
Sliced strawberries.
Yeah.
Strawberries are loaded with vitamins. A lot of people don't know that, but you know, the amount of vitamin C in one in like 8 strawberries is like bigger. It's more than like an orange, which is an interesting fact.
Uh huh. Do you think in terms of like something to pair with yogurt, do you think that's the best? Versus like maybe raspberries or blueberries.
Oh yeah, I mean it's up to you. Any sort of berry combination would be good. Peaches would be fantastic too. They're at their peak right now at the farmer's market and they taste delicious. I just had it with peaches actually that day. There was an extra peach laying around. I was just dipping it in to taste the yogurt itself, and that was fantastic. Another thing I want to stress about this menu is that it has like 9 superfoods. You know, foods that are considered superfoods. They're high in antioxidants. They're high in minerals. And they're high in vitamins. A thing I was really excited about that Hilton Garden Inn really did not thwart a lot of my ideas. They only tried to make them possible and work. And you don't eat at a lot of like places for breakfast out there that really have like a real meal. You know, it's always like a big old 200 pan full of like scrambled eggs, another big tin full of like bacon. And while those things will still be there, this is a different alternative and one that I think is more interesting, better for you, and tastes just fantastic.
Yeah, I have a question, and not necessarily about that the Hilton Inn would do this. But I know, like, for instance, like, people go to, like, on a buffet and then scrambled eggs are there, or even when you have omelets, you know, being made. And you have this whole big batch of eggs there.
Yeah.
Does
that ever look appetizing to anybody?
Well, are the eggs, and I have to say, are the eggs always, and I have to use the word real, fresh eggs? In other words, are they cracking them open and, you know, or is there...
I'm not totally sure, and I couldn't speak for, you know, I know they definitely have a product that's already cracked eggs, and it comes like in like looks like milk jugs almost. They're huge.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if they who uses that or who doesn't, but I know that's definitely a product that's out there. That's why I think my dish is good, because it's a poached egg. It's, what you see is what you get.
Right. Yeah, because I know, like, the best thing to do if you, if you want eggs and you want them fresh, you go to where they are making the omelets and just say, you know, I want eggs over easy or eggs fried. They have to crack the eggs right there.
That's right.
Or if you say eggs over hard, would you say that? Or
That might be in your vernacular. I've never said eggs over hard.
Over medium. Yeah, eggs over medium. Because otherwise, if you say I want a fried egg, they still may take the...
Yeah, if you ask for scrambled eggs, they might still get a dollar. They might get a ladle full of, like, this egg mixture and what have you.
Yeah, because I think that's the only way that you're sure that you're getting totally fresh eggs. I mean, not that you're going to get sick, but, you know, I'm sure,
definitely know the difference in fresh eggs versus, like, not fresh eggs.
Yeah, because I like to cook everything from scratch at home anyway.
Right.
You know, Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't make my own waffle mix, though.
Well, you don't have to. You got a big jug for me.
I'll take yours. Yeah. So
that's fine.
So the thing that you added into yours is we're taking just this one that I have, and you added the wheat germ, cinnamon,
and coriander.
Coriander, and a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
Into it. Okay, which that's great. It gives it that would give it a little extra flavor. It's like you know, when people make French toast and they put, you know, cinnamon in that to flavor
exactly.
it up. And of course, the wheat germ, you probably wouldn't even notice that goes in there, but you know,
it has a lot of fiber and a lot of iron.
Healthy. Yeah. And it's too bad you're going to have some health with shoving. You know, with shoving 4 tablespoons of wheat germ in there, you won't even notice.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like with the flax seed. The flax, it's not flax seed. It's actually, I guess it's called, I have a bag of it in the refrigerator. And it's almost like, it looks like a wheat germ.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's, they're shinier, though.
Yeah, but in other words, it's ground that way. So, you know, so when you're putting it on things, you don't really notice it too much, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not an extremely flavorful item at all.
No. If anything, it just brings like a toasty earthiness, like a nuttiness to the dish.
Yeah. Toasty earthiness.
Yes.
That's a great description. Toasty.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm very proud with my descriptive vernacular.
Yes, wait, I'm writing this down. Toasty earthiness. Okay.
There you go.
In case I want to, when I write up the article, I'm going to quote you on toasty earthiness as a description. So now,
good shit.
Aside from doing this, is there anything else that's going on in
there's lots going on. I'm actually coming back here in New York in 3 weeks from now to do a thing called a highbrow barbecue, and it's going to be on the Solar, this place called Solar One, which is sort of like an event venue right along the river on the east side. And it's going to be a concert, and I'm going to do like a high-end sort of barbecue food. Not high-end, just some good old barbecue stuff, but with some of my own, like, touches thrown in there. That is the 23rd of August. I'm opening a restaurant in Chicago called Town & Country, and we're still waiting for permits to get our kitchen done, but I'll be heading out there in the next month and a half or so.
Wow. So when you open up, in other words, this the Town & Country, is that going to be, like, it's going to be, that's yours. That'll be your...
I'm actually opening it with Dale and Sarah from my season. And there's talk that they need to do a show of us opening this restaurant. Because we're all living together and we're opening it together. Essentially, they should just name it like How to Ruin Friendships. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, okay. So you're going to share your notoriety then, huh?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Like diner food.
Okay. Well, so this barbecue, the thing at Solar One, is it a private party that they're doing?
It's not a private party. Anybody can go. It's $25. All you can drink beer and you get food. So I mean, it's a really good deal.
Okay. Well, do you have any connections?
yeah, go to New York Magazine and it's online.
Oh, okay.
High Brow Barbecue.
Okay. So this is and you said that it's on the east side and where what street?
It's called Solar One is the venue. A lot of concerts are there, a lot of different events.
Oh, okay. It's a whole bunch of events that are going on.
There's also people, the barbecue sauce competition too, so people bringing their own barbecue sauces, and I'll be judging along with some other, I think, top chefs, some other chefs from around town, and the winner gets $1,000. So it's not like any just, small amount of money. You can get $1,000. I mean, come on.
Wow. Well, I need some extra cash.
Yeah, maybe Merle, why don't you go rock that shit and bring it out?
Maybe I'll bring some of the waffle mix.
Yeah, just throw some brown sugar in there and boil it.
Who knows what I'll do with it? I'm gonna see about attending. Just to see you again.
I'd love to see you too, and I really appreciate this little opportunity here.
Yeah, and I look forward to being there. So
all right, cool.
All right, now you can go. Now you can relax for the rest of the evening.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank
you
very much. It's been nice talking to you, Merle.
All right, take it easy.
Bye bye.
Night. Oh yes. So if you're in New York, try this thing, Solar One. The event, Google it. That's the best way. That's what Google is for. And see, all I got that he said on the east side, this should be pretty nice. Nice on right on the water. And let's see. So it's commercial time. And all right. I'm sorry, Barbara. I know we did it. All we kept talking about was food. So I'm going to do a non-food commercial. Let's see. Where did it go now? I'm looking. I have too many things on here, I think. Where is my? Oh, here we are. The only non-food.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
I wonder, I have to check. I wonder if JetBlue is also raising the cost for the baggage. Here's my take on the baggage stuff. It's really getting complicated. I was putting stuff under the plane because I just didn't want to deal with how much, toothpaste I took. The problem now is like dealing with what you're going to, bring on the plane. And so here's what I think you should do is don't even bring anything that's, that's, if you can, that's not liquid and, the whole bit. And make sure, check to see if there's, wherever your destination is, that there is an iron and ironing board. Stuff it in your bag. Listen, it's going to be wrinkled anyway. The clothes are wrinkled, so just, you know, iron them quickly, and, you know, you could iron a few of things at one time or just at the end of the night what you're going to wear the next day. And then the other thought is that you get on the plane and the luggage, or the carry-on luggage is too big or whatever, and they now wind up putting it on the plane. But the great thing is they'll put it under the plane, but then you don't have to go to baggage claim to take it off. So that's another way of dealing with. Now, I'm going away in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to try doing this. I'll let everybody know, what comes out of it. I did have, like, I don't know what happened with the callers coming in. It was supposed to call at 7:30. I guess they all thought that each was going to call at 7:30, and I'll wait a few minutes. You know, that's what happened. So what I'm going to do is, actually I have Andrew on the calling in here, and I'm going to open up our microphone. Okay. Andrea, you're on the air. How are you?
I'm good, Merle. How are you?
Oh, just fine. We've been talking about food. You missed it all.
About food? Oh, too bad.
Yeah, and we talked about this pancake and waffle mix and making a beer batter. And I said, that's what we'll need. The New York Sharks will be interested in knowing that we can use this for a beer batter.
Well, yeah. Molly would eat 100 of them.
Yeah, okay. Now let's see. Who else do we have calling in?
Lynn Lewis.
Okay, so we got the two of you so far. And by the way, I have some emails from Barbara Coletti asking some questions. I guess because of her show, Women's Football, and so. We're going to talk, and then if we haven't covered it yet, we'll, cover the questions that she's got. So what I want to first talk about is, Andrew, since you're then actually playing, you're now looking at this entire thing, and you're observing it all. And tell me, like, what was your experience of this whole thing?
Well, I guess... I've never experienced anything that was international like this, and that was the best part to me was just watching the different countries interact and watching all of the camaraderie from around the world, the jersey exchange at the end and the sportsmanship, and it was just really fascinating and very endearing, I have to say. It was a wonderful experience.
Wow. And in terms of, because you've played – flag and tackle. How did you see it, watching it in terms of this is a 5-on-5, which, it means shit to me. But
Well, it's a different game, Merle. It really is.
Explain what it is, yeah.
Well, it's different because there's no contact. The rules are very different, and Lynn can probably explain even better than I how the difference. But, overall, it's just a very, very different game. Smaller field, different rules, different amount of people. It's just overall very, very different than what there were. Even in flag, we played 8-on-8 contact.
Field blocking. It was a very fast, it's a much faster, much quicker game. It's you.
Yeah.
It's that's the major difference. And all for the most part, most of the teams had like 7 to 10 unbelievably fast and good athletes, and you really couldn't get by without speed. That's the major difference to me, the quickness of the game. And the other part of the game, just talking about the game, is that there's no room for error. You have 4 tries to make a first down. You start the ball on the 5-yard line, you have to get past midfield, which is the 30. So in four tries, you have to get past midfield. And if you drop the first pass or it's incomplete or you just make a bad play for some reason, you put yourself in a hole. So it's a very – the passes – there's pretty much not much running. Any running play is a trick play with an option to pass. And
yeah, it eliminates the running game, really.
And the passes, for the most part, you have to chip away 6-7 yards. And every once in a while, you can go for the deep ball. But it's pretty much a very, you know, concise, controlled game that, to be very honest with you, every one of those teams has been playing for at least 3 years. And we went in there practicing, having, you know, gotten together and done this maybe 10 times. So, you know, the game is different. The camaraderie is wonderful. I mean, the girls from and the guys from other teams and the coaches couldn't be more gracious and happy to be there. And that's really what it was all about, really promoting a sport for men and women and promoting camaraderie among nations.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I get chills thinking about it still because it was so
wonderful. Me too, Lynn.
Andrew and I were like two little old bags running around trying to get the Italian collared shirt. And then, you know, the Mexican girls are asking one of the girls to please drive them to the bar to get a beer so they could – this is at the end of the tournament on Sunday when everybody actually hung out together. And meanwhile, I got a, you know, the Japanese team had – brought the little bandana things around the head that the chefs wear, so I have one of those. The Korean men, or what was it, Thailand, Andrea, they were doing the, what were they doing at the table?
Oh, the Koreans had beautiful, they brought their instruments. They played like concert music, violins. And
they tried to do the Beatles to it.
Yeah, they did. In fact, this was one of the best experiences of the whole tournament. They played John Lennon's Let It Be, or the Beatles' Let It Be at the end.
Wow.
And every country in the whole banquet hall was singing Let It Be. I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Me too.
And experience.
And what's the other thing? I'm brain dead today. Will you make the different figures out of paper? What's that called?
Oh, the origami. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they passed it around. They made origami animals and passed one around to every single table at the banquet. The Koreans did. It was so cool.
Oh wow.
You just can't. Yeah. You know. And everybody was so nice. It was. You know, when you wonder when you first read the rules, it's all about sportsmanship, and everyone. You know, for the most part, every single team had the most wonderful sports, and they were true, wonderful people. You just don't have any bad blood. It was really, I can't tell you enough. And I think this is the first time I can honestly say, although it kills me not to come in first, the experience so outweighs that.
So right.
I can't even tell you how much that it meant to us.
Have any of you ever been to an Olympics game?
No, but I imagine it was very much like it, but on a grander scale.
Well, Andrew, we were at the I don't remember. In 1994, we played in the Gay Olympics that happened to be held in New York, and
right.
There were teams from different countries and different. Because of football, it was just teams from the United States, but there were teams from different countries, and it was a great experience. But for some reason, because we were all. We all stayed here in the same little barracks, flat campus, and we were just together eating, drinking, and doing everything together. It was just so, you know, you really got to meet everyone, hang out with, you know, everybody made an effort. You know, maybe in New York with the Olympics, it was just so spread out. Maybe you only meet, you know, a few people, but here you really got to, you know, to commingle with all these teams. It was wonderful.
Yeah, you did. It was.
With Olympics, you're dealing with more than one sport.
Right. In the Olympics, I was at the Gay Games in Chicago and New York, and there's, you know, 30 sports. It's so spread out. Yes, you have the opportunity to meet people as well, but this was just much more of an intimate setting. And there were 27 countries, I believe, right, Andrea?
Yeah, I think that's right, 27. But we were all on the same campus, which was very, very nice. I mean, the accommodations were – you could eat off the floors. My own house isn't that clean. You know, and it was just it was small. It was very intimate. The fields were right down the road. Everyone ate breakfast together. We'd play. Even if you lost, you harbored no hard feelings, and you'd go to lunch. And, I mean, it was very competitive, don't get me wrong, but it was just – everyone, like Lynn said, they harped on sportsmanship, and it wasn't about winning or losing. You know, it was more getting along and having a good time, and certainly we did that.
I'm just curious, like, because...
And promoting football. That's
yeah.
another major reason for that.
Just curiosity, like, because there were all these countries there, like, in terms of the food, did you get to taste...
American food.
Well, it was. You know what? It was cafeteria food. I think that's universal.
A lot of carbs. I think pasta. Everything seems to be geared towards the apple.
Pasta soups. Yeah, a lot of meat dishes. It was, you know, it was cafeteria food. Certainly edible, but nothing.
And your all American breakfast.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me get to the questions that I got here from Barbara. Can you ask her to go through the come-from-behind scores and give us a visual picture of each day's event?
Oh,
sorry, I missed you. I apologize. What did you say? I apologize.
It says, Merle, can you ask her to go through, I guess either of you, to go through the come-from-behind scores and give us a visual picture of each day's event?
Here's our visual. Andrew and I sucking oxygen on the sideline, having a nervous breakdown, and then when we score, getting a concussion because we banged our heads. Okay, that was Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, that was Friday and Saturday.
And then, let's see.
Administering every kind of heart medication. Imodium.
Right. I mean,
you name it.
It was. The first day, and here's this. I mean, out of the 12 girls, maybe three have played flag before, any type of flag, and so this flag is much different. You don't know what to expect whatsoever, and honestly, as a coach, I realize that no matter how wonderfully talented we were, which we were, and how much we could prepare to play in a tournament, when you're not practicing against anybody but people that you know, you realize that the first game is going to be an adjustment. So we had the very lovely Japanese team for the first game.
Oh, those poor things.
Yeah, the poor thing, lovely Japanese girls.
Yeah.
And although
they were all like that. They looked like they were 12 years old and weighed 60 pounds each.
I didn't even know. I never thought I'd see someone that was half the size of Andra, but I did. So,
hey.
And thin-wise, they were so thin, very nice, very
yes.
meek, mild. You didn't even hear them speak on the field, and here they are. And you would think on paper and by visuals or by anything, you would think that we should be winning by a lot. And here we are, just finding our way through this game. And
mm-hmm.
and when we won the game at the end, I think, you know, we were all, we were jumping up and down like little kids. Like, it was just very exciting because, you know.
But that was the most incredible. Okay, there's 7 seconds left.
I wasn't
going
to try to tell you how we won, that's why.
Oh, no, it's the coolest thing because here we are playing these what looked like 9-year-olds, and we thought, you know, we were mammoths compared to them. We should have been killing them. They couldn't throw a pass more than 15 yards, and yet somehow they've mastered the game, and they had it down perfectly. So there's 7 seconds left in the game. We're down by, what, 5 points, Lynn? No, 1 point. We're down by 1 point. It's 13-14.
Yes.
So... Now, all they had to do was take the snap and take a knee because we're on, you know, they started from their 5-yard line and drive back down. All they had to do was take a knee. And for some reason, the quarterback lifted up like she was going to run a play, and Lauren Pringle came rushing in and flustered her. And I don't know what happened, but she decided to put the ball up in the air, and Lauren tipped it and batted it forward. She kind of bobbled it and then caught it and ran into the end zone for the score, and
oh,
automatically we won. So, I mean, everyone burst into the most excited. I mean, we were just in disbelief, screaming, crying, jumping all around. It was the most incredible thing. And I have to say, those poor Japanese women, they had the same kind of luck the entire tournament. I don't think they ever lost a game by more than 5 points, but they just couldn't pull it off. So I think we set the tone, but that was the most incredible game. And then we just kept going, you know. We won the next one and the next one and the next one. I mean, we were 5-1 in round robin play. The teams that beat us on Sunday, we had beaten both of them previously. But, you know, any day, even if we played them right now, who knows who would win. We were that evenly matched, all four teams. If we played them again, we could take the gold. It was that doable.
So in terms of our team, I mean, that really says something for our team, since, you know, this is our first time and we're competing against teams that have played together.
Oh, played together for a long time. And in the France game on Saturday, when we played against France, that was a great game, too. We were down by a touchdown. Actually, the game had been postponed due to thunder and lightning. They were winning 6-0. We came back out. We were down by another touchdown. And there were just seconds on the clock. And Lynn called a great play. It was a fade to Jen Blum. And,
Jen Blum.
Jen Blum
to fade.
French Cokie had a cow when we made it because we threw the ball, caught it. The most incredible, most unbelievable catch to win the game. And he's standing on the sideline. I go on your website. I see Jean Blum on the fade. And here it is.
Jean Blum de fade. He said that he researched the United States team. And then on the highlights of the Shark website, he saw Jen Blum. And he said that he always saw her running the fade. I didn't even know that was the case. And he goes, I told my team about the fade, Jen Blum, the fade. It was really to end the game. So after that, we were 5-1, and we had all the confidence in the world. So we never, ever thought, no matter whether we were down or not, and we decided to let them always score first just so that we could just torture ourselves more, every team. That's what we did, except for Canada, and then we wound up losing. But we've had all the confidence in the world. And even on Sunday with Canada, we were actually up 6-0.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it was just a matter of, you know, in any sport, no matter who you are, and no matter what team you are, no matter whether it's an individual or not, you have your days where everything clicks, and you just have your days that you don't click. And for some reason, it wasn't our day that Sunday. And with no disrespect to any team, it's not that anyone outplayed us or was so much better than us. It was just that it wasn't our day. All the plays that we had made the previous 2 days, we just didn't make. We made a little, and I'm saying that it's such a small field, and there's little time. One mistake, and that's it. You miss one flag, and the girl's gone. You don't catch one ball, it puts you in a hole. And unfortunately, what we, and the eventual gold medal champs, Mexico, we were toe-to-toe with them the whole day on Saturday. We were scoring at will against them, and if the game was 10 minutes longer, we would have won.
Absolutely.
It was very, you know, for me, it was just very wonderful to see how many great women football players there are from other countries. And what I mean by that is that regardless of whether it was tackle or flag, some of these teams had awesome quarterbacks. And
some of these teams had
awesome receivers and awesome defenders. And it was great to see women from all over the world. And, you know, you're talking Japan, Austria, Mexico, Israel, the United States, Canada. That were such great athletes that it warmed my heart. And to find out that even tackle in a lot of countries is growing, and that, you know, it's not like, oh, yeah, they're playing tackle and you raise your eyes or you stick up your nose. It's like, wow, these women are all great athletes, and I'm so proud that in 2008 that's something we could say about women's football.
If, like, any of the teams, the foreign teams playing play tackle? Any of the members?
Finland, not the ones that were there.
Finland, Sweden, Denmark, and another one of the countries – the girls from Austria were telling me that those European countries are playing tackle.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, you guys weren't the only ones that
We were the only tackle team.
Yeah, we were the only, and there were no one on the other teams played tackle, but
correct.
There is tackle being played in those countries.
Oh,
correct.
Okay. That's what I was kind of wondering, whether any of them
These girls like to think that they don't play tackle and it's no contact, but some of these games were, actually, we were so concerned about not being physical because they made it clear that we were less physical than we normally were, could be, and now we understand the rules even more. You know, it was a learning experience, and I'm saying the France team, the Austria team, the Canadian team, the Japanese, the Mexico, this is all they do. They play in leagues.
Yeah.
Five on five, and they're representing their country as the best team in their country from all these leagues.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's the highest of competition, and yet, you know, again, it's not sour grapes whatsoever, and I'm not just saying this to say it, but we could have just as easily come away with the gold.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
How proud I am of our girls.
Yeah, and USA Football even said that too, you know. I mean, they're the ones who sent us there, and they were so pleased with what they saw. And at the end of the tournament, they said, look, it could have just as easily been you, and that's what we're proud of. We represented well. We behaved ourselves, even though Sharks are not known for that. We did.
And you know what? The girls were so tired at the end of each day that they all they did was want to go to bed.
Oh, I know. I threatened them within an inch of their lives. I mean, I was like, you know, if you guys mess this up, I'm going to kill you. And they couldn't have gone out and done anything wrong if they'd wanted to. They were
When Andrew said, you know what, let's not drink and go crazy. You have a bunch of games. And, like, maybe two girls had one beer because they just were so exhausted. They didn't want a beer.
Yeah, they didn't want it.
We were up at 6:30 each morning because by everybody, you know, they it's breakfast, getting to the field, playing an 8 or 9 o'clock game, playing three games by whatever, 5, 6 o'clock, everybody was exhausted. It was, you know, one night, I do have to say though, the elderly women of Andrea, Douglas, and Lynn Lewis kicked Mexico's butt in foosball three out of four games.
We were the champions. We are the champions. That's right. We did. And, you know, I have to say, Lynn, this has to be said. The quarterback from Mexico who won the whole thing was 41 years old.
41 or 48, Andrea?
Well, someone said 48, and then I think that the real age came out at 41. But you know what? She's in her 40s, and woohoo, you go, girl.
She was wonderful. Mexico team was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. The Mexico team was, they were the sweetest bunch of women and extremely talented. And that 41-year-old or 48-year-old, let me tell you, she kicked ass.
And how about, and also just to say about kudos to Mexico, there's a mother-daughter tandem on that team.
Yeah, that was, and the coach was, the coach is the husband of one of the players, too. I mean, it was like a family event down there, and they were very good, very talented, very wonderful people.
What do you think is next for us with this?
I'll tell you what's next. The NFL already asked us to coach some of their clinics that are coming up. And that'll be in Central Park coming up in a couple of weeks. And they were so pleased with our performance on and off the field that they would like us to, continue working with them, which is huge. You know, I mean, this is how it happens. You get in. Little by little, you show up, and you don't think it really matters, but it does. And, we're just going to keep plugging along and see where it takes us. But,
you think we'll play again in the tournament?
If Andrew and I have anything to do with this, we will.
Absolutely. I do think so, because we made a great impression. Everyone's pleased. And, you know, I think if there's any way that opportunity comes up for them to offer it, yes, I think they will choose us. I feel certain.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, this is the best thing that could have happened. You know, I had commented that it's interesting that this happened to be the first season that the Sharks didn't get into the playoffs. And had we gotten into the playoffs,
we wouldn't have
been able to do this.
You know, Merle, you're right. And I always say, I know I have angels, and I always say Sharks have magic. And as much as I hated that, this is why. This is absolutely why. It was probably a better experience, And, yeah, you know what? Things happen the way they're supposed to. And
it happens for a reason.
It happens for a reason. And we were supposed to be in Canada that weekend. So I'll take that. I'll take that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I have to say, I mean, the truth of the matter is, as I look at this, had you guys won, you probably still wouldn't have gotten the media attention.
Oh, hell no.
I don't even care about the media attention.
I don't either.
But,
yeah.
But perhaps 2 years from now, when we play again, because now we have two more years to work on things we can do to get media attention, because it's coming. It's
yeah.
happening, a little by
well,
little.
Well, I also maybe there may be some rumors in the air about flag football becoming an Olympic sport.
Really?
And that would really be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You see, I have to just put my two cents in.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even look that way anymore, not because I don't want to, not because it wouldn't be the most wonderful thing in the world, but I think that just what we accomplished is just wonderful, because to get disappointed with media coverage or making it a sport, it to me right now, seeing how all these women, you know, playing around the world and having the opportunity in these type of forums to play is just as good, because I think that the athletes, once they're in the atmosphere of the competition, they don't care if the press is there. They don't care. What they care is, all that the athletes really care about is that each other's there from other countries, because that's what gives them the most recognition. The fact that, you know, United States could say to Mexico, wow, you guys are great. You girls are great players. Or Israel, you know, Israel played six games on Friday because they, as a team, decided to recognize the Sabbath of Friday night and Saturday. And I think that's what means more to all these athletes, you know, being a former athlete and a football lover, than anything in the world, the fact that they're recognized by each other.
That's true. But, I mean, how much more would it open it up to other women if we
And by the way, I have
the fact that they're taking softball out of the Olympics for women, and the fact that the soccer league doesn't succeed, see, that's why, to me, you know, football will always be the last sport that's going to be recognized for women. So I just think as long as we all keep recognizing it, that's enough, but that is good. That's good for the athlete. As long as they're recognized and they know that all their efforts are not going unnoticed by the people that really care about it.
Yeah.
And I also would like to acknowledge the two of you for your empowerment of other women. It's because, like, we're looking at, I mean, I don't think people realize, and when we're talking about this tackle football team, it's not that we're coming from, we played in college or we played in high school, and so basically most of them are learning right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, and the two of you have been in positions of empowerment, if you think about it.
Hey, look, you have to.
I mean, look at our team. I mean, that's why we are who we are, because of the what goes behind it, of what of the backing of it, where these women can feel very comfortable about what they're doing, where they're you're giving them something. It's fulfilling their passion, which not everybody gets to do in life. People, you know, they take a job, they don't really like it, and they go, I wish I was. And regardless of the fact that they're, you know, unfortunately they're not getting paid, they're still in that fulfillment of something that's very, very passionate to them, and they wouldn't be able to do it if they didn't have people that can empower them. So I definitely
that's
want
what
to
it's all about.
That.
I do want to say that the NFL, though, and I thank you for that, Merle, and, you know, the Sharks wouldn't be around without Andra, and I wouldn't be able to do half the things without that, so that is a big deal, and, you know, that Andra devotes all this time to making football known as a women's sport as well, you know, and it's very wonderful. And in that regard, the NFL is undertaking to get to get 7-on-7 flag football recognized as a high school sport.
Yeah,
for
that
women.
Is so great.
It is so unbelievable.
And in Florida, it's going well.
And were they doing that like with as co-ed teams or as women?
No,
Sam
Rappaport of the NFL.
Oh, that's great. That's fabulous. Even
trying to get middle schools and high schools 7-on-7, and that will, you know, the 7-on-7 will teach them the fundamentals of the sport, and then we'll grab them up from there and teach them the realities of the sport.
That's right. No, that's true. That's true. And, you know, the NFL is very, very interested in getting women viewers, women participants. You know, times they are a-changing, and sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. You know, I always tell the Sharks, just keep plugging along, because you do so many things that you don't think matter. But at the end of the day or at the end of the year or whatever, it does. And it all adds up. All the little things add up. And pretty soon we are empowering people. And, hell, all I ever wanted to do was sit home and draw cartoons. And now I'm sucked into this thing. And here we go. So
all I ever wanted to do was play middle linebacker on the men's team. So because I fail art all the time.
Andrea,
you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of these damn Sharks will give me some time to do it.
I can't tell you how proud I am. You know me. I got stuff up my sleeve.
Yeah, you do. You always do.
I always do.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah,
yes, we do.
You guys will see what's next. I'll leave that as a bit of surprise for the team and everybody else.
All right.
You know, I come every time when the media doesn't recognize, it pisses me off, and then I have to make up for it by doing something,
yeah.
And that no other team bothers to do. So that's I'll just put it that way, you know.
Well, you know what I was going to say, Merle, and we do appreciate everything you've done, but I just wanted to say as an aside, when this tournament was over and I saw, and I'm sure Andrew did, the looks on all those girls' faces, because what we didn't tell you is that at the end of the tournament, right after the end of the men's finals, they have all the teams. Hi, Maui. That's my bird. Okay. And they have all the teams line up. And they give you of the flag of your country, and you march onto the field, and each country is announced. And all the girls I saw with wide eyes and taking pictures. And, you know, I don't even think the girls that were playing realized the magnitude of this tournament. I'm not, you know, but
you're right.
How much it was going to affect them. And at the end, how everyone was so excited. Hey, Andrea. Hey, Lynn. Look, we got Japan T-shirt. Oh, we got the France jersey. Oh, we got the jacket from Italy. I mean, they were so excited, and that's what made it all worthwhile, to see the looks and the excitement on these kids' faces. And I, you know, for the most part, they are kids. They're in their
20s. They are, because we're older than Europe.
Right, you know, and you know what? I can't even begin to tell you how beautiful that was, and to watch the boys from Korea were 16 years old. They were in over their heads. They unfortunately got killed by every team, but all those other teams took them under their wing and, you know, cheered them on, and it was all about that. And you really, I know we keep gushing about this, but. And it's not because we didn't win that we're bringing up all this. Even if we had won, what I'm telling you now still was the highlights of this tournament.
You're so right.
Seeing all of this. It was just unbelievable.
Honestly, I didn't think it would affect me the way it did. And they introduced country by country, and when we were bringing our flag out, the men's and the women's U.S. team, when we were walking across the field carrying our flag and everyone shouting, USA, USA. And everyone on the sidelines was cheering for us. And I'm telling you, I at one point I had to stop. Nothing came out of my mouth. I was mouthing, USA, USA, because I was about to cry. And I just stood there saying it. My lips were saying that, but I couldn't speak. I was that speechless. It was precious.
I hope I get to see some video.
Well, you know, when the pictures are worth a thousand words, when you see those pictures,
yeah.
And hopefully, you know, the IWFL will put them on, put them out there and show everybody that's really, I'm telling you, what it's all about.
Yeah, Lynn, I so agree with you. And I would have given my eye tooth to have been in that IWFL championship. But you know what? I have to say this was better.
Right. I would have given my eye tooth and my other eye tooth to do that as well. But I'm saying this is an experience. Like, we don't know. Yeah, yes,
it was bigger.
Yes, we hope that we'll have a chance to do it again. But the very fact that we had this chance, I think that, you know, had somebody come back and told us about this, and had we not been there, it would have really been heart-wrenching, because I think that, you know, just being there just meant so much.
Yeah. You had to experience it, but, you know, hopefully we've shared enough to give somebody goosebumps, and in 2 years, hopefully we'll be back and we'll have more fans, you know, because it's just wonderful. Whether you're playing, coaching, watching, it'll give you chills, I promise.
Being a part of it is just an honor, exactly.
Yes, yeah, yep.
One of the questions that was asked, by the way, was how was the officiating?
Next question?
I was curious about that in terms of, like, you know, sometimes, you know, we get, it's like, you know, we're screaming, didn't you see that? What's the matter? Are you blind? You know, whatever. How was it like that in terms of people, you know?
You know, some of them were very, very good, and others were just horrible. You know, you have it everywhere. Not even in our games per se. I mean, I saw horrible refs in other games, but you know, you're going to have that wherever. And
when you bring a bunch of countries together, like every country was allowed to bring a ref, and then the Football Canada supplied a lot of refs, and they meet and go over the rules. But when it's such a diverse group of people, you know, you always have, what is it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So one ref said to me on Saturday, he said, did you notice there's a lot less, there are a lot less refs today. You know, they, amongst themselves, tried to weed out who they felt maybe wasn't up to snuff. And remember, there's a language barrier. That's very key. I mean, you know,
remember that one game where, you know, we're winning. And the ref says, 19 seconds in some strange language. And we all went, okay, 19, all we have to do is take a knee. Well, he was saying 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
Oh,
and nobody,
it nearly cost us the game because we had to turn the ball back over. The other team throw back down. But, you know, there is a language barrier. You know, 90 seconds. You know, what the hell was that?
Right, because first of all, we're used to, nobody says 90 seconds. They say a minute 30, and you ask four times, and you're saying back 19, and he's saying yes, 19, where it's 90. There are some issues there. And there, you know what? It's just part of any type of sport. There's some calls that you have to question. There's some calls maybe you get away with. And, you know, even though whatever we think about the officiating, it still is not going to take away from the wonderful experience.
This was just a question asked.
It just happens everywhere. Yeah. There's always bad. There's always really good. There's always really bad.
Yeah,
and
everywhere. Whether it's a single game or a tournament or, you know, the Super Bowl, you're going to have sucky refs. And anyway,
you have to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
But that, all in all, it was the experience that really counts anyway.
It was wonderful. Just incredible.
Yeah, I bet. But, as I said, we're going to celebrate, so.
Yes, we are.
Yes, and
we changed our date, but that won't stop the celebration.
I changed the date to September 5th, I guess. That's Friday the 5th?
Right, we saw that.
Cool, because we have tryouts the next morning, so that'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be great. Great. Good job, Merle.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Good job. Way to go, Merle.
Live with the sheriff. All right.
You know what I actually think will also happen one day that I never thought would happen? Just by speaking to all these women and finding out the extent of football in other countries, which we are all unaware of, that I think one day that, you know, we may be even able to have an international tackle championship.
skate. I agree. Yep.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
I agree. Yep.
Or we could do what was done in 1999 by Minnesota. We can go and barnstorm all over Europe or something like that. But
IWFL Europe.
I really feel that it's coming to that, and that's something,
yeah.
Again, what I was getting back to before, I don't care whether the media is there, I don't care whether it's in the Olympics, the very fact that that opportunity exists in 2008 is such a wonderful thing.
You're absolutely right.
I agree.
Yep.
Well, all right, guys, I guess you probably talked out, I guess.
Yeah, well, I have two people standing here who, if I don't go to dinner with them soon, they're going to kill me. So.
And I have my stomach growling for dinner. Can you send some over, Andrew?
Come on, join us.
All right, I'll let you guys go then. So thanks for being on and giving us this information. We'll continue to talk about things that come up. You have the opportunity anytime to be on the show, and if you want to bring up anything we'll get you on some other shows too. What the heck, right?
Why not?
Whenever you need us, we're here.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, go eat and Andrew, you're allowed to eat. Wait a minute.
I'm going out to eat. Yeah, I'm off duty, man. What is it? 8:30? I'm off duty.
All right.
Besides, I'll work when I get home. Don't worry.
All right. Think about the Sharks during dinner. At least do that.
Oh, right.
Always.
That never comes up during dinner. All right.
Oh, I hate my life.
Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. That's some great thing. I'm so glad that they called in. I hope all of the questions were answered. I would imagine they were at this point. Well, I'm gonna take a break here. Where's my let's see. I'll take a break.
Are you ready for some football?
And we just talked about that. What's the matter with you? Let's see. I'm in the mood for a piece of music. Oh, which. I guess, listen, here's the one that just goes with what happened. that got them through their experience, I think. Boy, I'll tell you. Yeah, I wish I was there to have seen this whole thing. That was so powerful. And, of course, I'm so proud of the New York Sharks. Okay. It looks like I got 3 minutes left to go. But it doesn't have to be exactly on time. And I'm going to go have a fairy tale brownie. I have to have one. And so it's time for me to... Where is Mallory? Mallory! I'm sure she'll be up here. So again, I just wanted to let everybody know about my new book, because it'll be probably within the next 6 months, it'll be totally published. I'm almost done with the book. Again, it's called Merle's Worlds. It's a humorous life. And so I will talk to everybody out there next week. Who knows where I'll be at the time. Hopefully I won't be in my house. I'll be enjoying myself someplace else. So have fun and good night, everybody. Hey, everyone.
Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone. I know. I know you're the host of the show. I understand.